Do you want victory? You can have it in Christ Jesus.
Time once again for Abiding in Christ with Jim Wood.
You have to step back, evaluate the various positions in light of Scripture, and then re-engage with a godly perspective.
Pastor Wood is the founder and executive director of Ware's Valley Ranch, a Christian home and school for kids from crisis situations.
Jesus said, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love."
You can contact the program by calling 866-41-ABIDE or by visiting us on the web at pastorwood.org. And now, here's your host, Jim Wood.
You would please open your Bibles to Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4, beginning in verse 10. This is God's word. "I rejoice greatly in the Lord that at last you've renewed your concern for me. Indeed, you've been concerned, but you had no opportunity to show it. I'm not saying this because I'm in need, for I have learned to be content whatever the circumstances. I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty. I've learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. I can do everything through him who gives me strength. Yet it was good of you to share in my troubles. Moreover, as you Philippians know, in the early days of your acquaintance with the gospel, when I set out from Macedonia, not one church shared with me in the matter of giving and receiving except you only. For even when I was in Thessalonica, you sent me aid again and again when I was in need. Not that I'm looking for a gift, but I'm looking for what may be credited to your account. I have received full payment and even more. I am amply supplied now that I've received from Epaphroditus the gifts you sent. They are a fragrant offering, an acceptable sacrifice, pleasing to God. And my God will meet all your needs according to his glorious riches in Christ Jesus. To our God and Father be glory forever and ever. Amen." Greet all the saints in Christ Jesus. The brothers who are with me send greetings. All the saints send you greetings, especially those who belong to Caesar's household. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. Amen. This is the conclusion of Paul's letter to the Philippians. And as he writes, we have said that over and over in this letter, he emphasizes rejoice. Rejoice in the Lord always. I'll say it again, rejoice. I'm rejoicing, you should rejoice. He repeats this over and over. Notice how this section begins. "I rejoice greatly in the Lord that at last you've renewed your concern for me. Indeed, you have been concerned, but you had no opportunity to show it." He says, "I want you to know how grateful I am to the Lord for what you have done in order to help me." Paul is thanking them for the gift they had sent with Epaphroditus. He's already thanked them for the fact that Epaphroditus was a help to him, and now he's sending Epaphroditus back to them. But here he's saying, "And I want you to know that the gift that he brought was a tremendous help to me, and I'm very grateful for it." He says, "You've renewed your concern." He had a long-standing relationship with them, but now he's received from them again a gift, not having received one for quite a while. And he says, "You've renewed your concern. Not that you weren't concerned before. Indeed, you've been concerned, but you had no opportunity to show it." He says, I'm not criticizing you. Now, why does he have to say that? Well, because some people, if you say this, they wonder if you really meant that. And if you say this, they wonder if you really meant that. And they're always second-guessing. So Paul repeatedly here is having to clarify. Okay, this is typical of his writings because Paul knows he's writing to humans. Even though he's writing to Christians, humans have a tendency to misunderstand and to distort. And so he says, I'm rejoicing in the Lord that at last you've renewed your concern for me. Indeed, you've been concerned. I'm not saying you weren't concerned before. You've been concerned, but you had no opportunity to show it. And I'm not saying this because I'm in need. Okay? He's thanking them for their gift, and some people back there in Philippi are going to get that, and they're going to say, oh, he's trying to get us to send more. Okay? The reason he's thanking us is because he wants more. That's what he's up to. And Paul says, I'm not saying this because I'm in need. For I have learned to be content whatever the circumstances. I know what it is to be in need. I know what it is to have plenty. I've learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, living in plenty or in want. I can do everything through him who gives me strength. Yet it was good of you to share in my troubles. And he speaks of the fact that this long-term relationship of their giving, you sent me aid, verse 16, again and again when I was in need. Repeating now what he said at the start of this, not that I'm looking for a gift, but I'm looking for what may be credited to your account. I have received full payment and even more. I am amply supplied now that I have received from Epaphroditus the gifts you sent. They're a fragrant offering. They're pleasing to the Lord. I'm happy. God's happy. You should be happy. I'm rejoicing in the Lord. The reason I'm talking about this is not to try and get you to send more. It's because I want to acknowledge God's faithfulness and his provision through you. He says, you've been helping me from the very start. When no other churches were supporting me, you did. And I'm looking for what may be credited to your account. I want to point out the fact that you folks have been faithful, and I'm appreciative. And he says, but I want you to know, even in the times when it was difficult, even in the lean times, I'm still content. I'm still content. I've learned what it is to be content, whether I'm hungry or well-fed. Wow. What an example. The guy's writing from prison. And he writes to people and he tells them they should be rejoicing even as he's rejoicing. And by the way, when you rejoice, when you focus on the goodness of God and the faithfulness of God, it's a lot easier to be content, isn't it? Because you're not finding your contentment in your circumstances, you're finding your contentment in the Lord. He says, I'm content. Whatever the situation, whether I'm well-fed or hungry, whether I'm living in plenty or in want, I know some people who seem to do a whole lot better when they don't have much. The time they get restless is when they have plenty. And then they say, what am I going to do with all this? I don't know what to do. Paul says, it's okay to have plenty. That's not a problem. Now, if you're a hoarder and you're being selfish and you want to be sure, I've got to make sure nobody gets my stuff, well, then you've got a different kind of problem and you're certainly not content. But if you have plenty and it enables you to be generous, that's wonderful. It's nice to have something to give, isn't it? It's nice to have something to share. But do remember that you can be generous even if you don't have much. You can be generous even if it means sacrifice on your part. Because generosity and contentment and rejoicing come from within, not from without. It's not based on your circumstances. When my dad was making so little money that I was astonished. I knew how much money he made. And in the 1960s, I heard a report on the news that the Johnson administration had just declared what the poverty line was in America. Anybody who's making less money than this, that family's poor. And I thought, oh, I didn't know we were poor. I didn't. Because we didn't think poor. We thought grateful. We were rejoicing. We were praising God. And even at that time of difficulty and hardship, my parents were giving away 20% of their income. Because 10% is just a baseline. That's just a starting point. They were giving away more. They didn't make a production out of it. Hardly anybody knew that. But I was young and I was inquisitive. And I knew how much they took in. And I knew how much went out. That was not always the case. But I think one thing that brought me to that point was an experience I had early on that I wanted to share with you this morning. Because it fits perfectly with this text. Verse 19 says, "And my God will meet all your needs according to his glorious riches in Christ Jesus." That's true. Well, of course it's true. It's in the Bible. Yeah, but a lot of people read it in the Bible and on an intellectual level they believe it's true, but they will never know experientially how true it is until they get in a situation where they don't have any place else to turn but to the Lord. During those very lean years in Charlotte, North Carolina, when my dad was pastoring a little church, my mom was a wonderful cook, not a great chef, but she was a good cook. And one of the things mom knew how to do was budget, how to make things last. And there were rules within our home. I was the youngest, and I learned from my older siblings. My parents didn't have to tell me, but my older siblings made it clear, even when I was a preschooler, we don't ask for seconds, okay? If mom says, after we've all gotten our portions, if mom says later in the meal, if anyone would like to have seconds, go right ahead. Then we'd say thank you and take seconds if we wanted them. But unless mom said, if anyone wants seconds, you may go ahead. We didn't ask and we didn't get seconds. Because what was on the table was going to be leftovers that mom would turn into something else. We didn't go and help ourselves to food in the pantry. Because that was mom's domain. We didn't go and help ourselves to something in the refrigerator. Unless mom had said, I have this and this in the refrigerator. If you'd like to get some, you can help yourself. Otherwise, the refrigerator was off limits. Well, what if you're hungry or thirsty? Go to the sink and drink water. Okay? It works, by the way. And so, when I was a little kid, my family ran out of food before Dad's paycheck. Not a bunch of times, one time. And when that happened, God used it to make an indelible impression upon my mind that he is faithful and will do what it takes to meet the needs of his children. Now, I don't mean to suggest that his children mustn't miss a meal. But God set our family up to teach me a lesson. And hopefully the rest of the family got it too. Now, I know I did. And I sure remember it. It was getting close to the midday meal. Mom called the kids into the living room because Dad had something to share with us. And Dad said, I'm sorry to say that there isn't going to be a meal this noon. We don't have any more food. Because we didn't. We'd run out. But you see, when you don't look in the fridge and you don't look in the pantry, you don't necessarily know that that's what's happening. But he said, we don't have anything to make a meal. He said, there have been difficult times in our marriage when there wasn't much to eat. There was a whole month in Fairbury, Illinois, where all we had to eat was cornmeal. And your mom found several different ways to fix it. Because that's all we had. and we had cornmeal at every meal. But he said, right now, we don't even have that. We don't have anything we can turn into a meal. And he said, but what I want us to do is to pray, not asking God to send food, because I'm going to get paid tomorrow. And when I do, we'll be able to get groceries again. But he said, I want us to pray and thank God that this is the first time in almost 25 years that we've ever had to miss a meal because we didn't have food. Now, my parents also fasted. They deliberately didn't eat at times in order to devote themselves to prayer. But it wasn't because they were out of food. It was because they were focused on their dependence on God. And they would pray for the missionaries overseas. And they would pray for their children to know the Lord and trust the Lord and live for Jesus. And they would pray for our nation. But this was the first time in all the years that they were married, almost 25 years at that point, when they simply had no food. And so Dad said, I want us simply to get down on our knees and thank God. Just thank God for his faithfulness across the years and for the fact that there will be a paycheck tomorrow and there will be food. And so we got down on our knees, as we always did when our family prayed. And we had family devotions every single night. And we prayed on our knees before God every single night. Well, this was midday. We're down on our knees praying, and it was my job, if there was some sort of interruption during our prayer time, to deal with it. It was almost never a phone call, but if the phone rang, it was my job to go and deal with the phone. And if the doorbell rang, which seldom ever happened, it was my job to go and deal with whoever was at the door and tell them that we were having prayer. Well, the doorbell rang, and I jumped up to answer the door. It was maybe as far as from here to the piano there to answer the door. I was a spry little, I think, 7-year-old, and when the doorbell rang, I went and opened it. There was nobody there. There was nobody on the front porch. There was nobody on the steps. There was nobody on the sidewalk. There was nobody in the driveway. There was no one down on the road in front of our house. We lived just outside the city limits in Charlotte. Nobody there. But there was a great big roasting pan like you cook a turkey in. And I went to lift the lid, and it was hot to the touch. And so I went back in, and I said, Mom, please come. And she came, and with her experienced cooking hands, she lifted up the handles and brought the thing in and looked at it in the kitchen. And what was inside was a ham and potatoes and a bunch of vegetables, all cooked and ready to serve at the midday meal. Well, we ate very well that meal, and the next day. And the next day, you know, ham lasts a little while. And in the new covenant, ham is perfectly fine for God's people. But my parents were absolutely blown away, because the thing is this, when the doorbell rang and I went to the doorbell was on the outside of that door, and my parents were over here praying, and my siblings were there, and there was nobody else to do that. And we kids didn't know that my parents didn't have food. Nobody else knew that except God. But God had sent us a meal. And more than a meal. It was delicious. It was God's provision. And God began to teach me that he will supply all our needs according to his glorious riches in Christ Jesus.
Thank you for listening to Abiding in Christ with Pastor Jim Wood.
Did you know that along with being an excellent Bible teacher, Pastor Wood has authored over a dozen books?
We'd like to encourage you to visit pastorwood.org for resources and books authored by Pastor Wood and his wife, Susan. You can also listen to or download teachings by Pastor Wood 24/7. Please visit pastorwood.org today. That's pastorwood.org.
To step out of my comfort zone into the realm of the unknown where Jesus is, and he's holding out his hand. But the waves are calling.
Whatever happens, I can be content, because my God will supply all my needs according to his riches in glory in Christ Jesus. What if? What are you afraid of? What makes you nervous? What robs you of sleep? It's a lot harder for the devil to do that to you if you're content, whatever the circumstances. A lot harder for the devil to do that to you if you know that God is going to supply everything you need because you're his child and he loves you. He who did not spare his son but delivered him up for us all, how will he not also with us freely give us all things? But the only way that you learn experientially that you can trust God in the hard times is going through hard times. You will never know the peace that comes from really knowing you can lean on God unless you're in a situation where God is the only one that you can lean on. And so Paul says, I've learned the secret of being content in any and every situation. Why does he call it a secret? Because most folks don't know this. It is a secret that you can know how to be content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. I can do everything through him who gives me strength. That's the secret. You find your strength and your security and your identity in Jesus Christ. You find that in him, you have everything you need. He is sufficient. You don't need something else. I don't know what kind of losses I face in the future, and I don't know what kind of losses you face in the future. I know that some of you have lost a lot. I know that some of you have been through real pain, real difficulty. Let me tell you something. The best thing that could happen from that is for you to find your sufficiency in Jesus Christ. He will provide everything you need. So Paul concludes by offering words of greetings. Greet all the saints in Christ Jesus. We said at the start, if you are in Christ, you are a saint. You need to live like one. Greet all the saints in Christ Jesus. The brothers who are with me send greetings. All the saints send you greetings, especially those who belong to Caesar's household. What? Caesar was a bad guy. And Paul was a prisoner. Yeah, but the good news was God had put Paul in prison in Rome and used him there to infiltrate the palace. What do you do when somebody is guarding you and you haven't done anything wrong? Paul wasn't bitter against his captors. He wasn't saying, I'm going to burn this place down. Paul knew Jesus. And so Paul wanted to share the love of Jesus with people who didn't know him. And the result was, even within Caesar's household, among his slaves and servants and the palace guard, Paul had seen God change hearts and bring people to faith. And folks, that's what it's all about. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. Amen.
You've been listening to Abiding in Christ. If you have questions that you'd like for us to tackle on the program or comments you want to make, I want to invite all of you to contact us at 866-41-ABIDE. That's our toll-free number, 866-41-ABIDE, or contact us on the web at pastorwood.org.